thank you for joining us as we discover nothing but the truth with David Johnston.
Henry Drummond wrote a classic book called Love, the Greatest Force in the World. And love is precisely that. In fact, if you had to describe God in one word, you would have to use this word, love. If you were to describe the Bible in one word, it would be the word, love. But most famous is this 13th chapter of Corinthians. It's called the love chapter in the Bible. And almost most weddings and ceremonies, somewhere they quote at least parts out of this 13th chapter of Corinthians, the love chapter. We want to talk about the superiority of love in a few moments, but let's review a few of the verses of that chapter. Watch with me now. Here's how it goes. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not charity or love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Look at this now. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and I don't have charity or love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, if I have not charity, it profits me nothing. Love is the strongest force in the whole world. So let's talk from this verse. What is love really superior to? Number one, look at it now. Love is superior to the tongues of men. Now, when I was a boy in high school and then later in college, I tried to learn French and Spanish and Latin and, of course, English as well. But, you know, if you could speak all the languages on this planet, that would be a marvelous accomplishment. But a greater accomplishment would be if you learn, and I learn, how to love. Because love is superior to the tongues of men, the languages of all mankind. Not just those languages, but, you know, if you could speak with silver-tongued oratory, if you could gather vocabulary and diction, and if you could pronounce, and if you could in flowery terms express yourself, no matter how good you were at a language, love is superior to all the languages and all the eloquence that could ever be put together. Well, secondly, we learn that love is superior to the tongues of angels. And I don't know if you realize this or not, but the angels of heaven, they speak languages as well. Heavenly languages, according to the scripture. This scripture says, this text says, this love chapter says that love is not only superior to the tongues of men, but is superior to the tongues of angels. Oh, how much higher developed their languages must be. And yet love is superior to the tongues of angels. And then we understand that love is superior to prophecy. That's what this chapter says. If you had the ability to predict the future with unerring accuracy, if you had the precise ability to say everything that was going to happen in the future, I guess that would be really marvelous. But something that's better than that, something that's superior to that, is love. Love is superior to prophecy. And then we learn that love is superior to understanding all mysteries. This chapter says, though I could understand all mysteries. Now watch this. It is one thing to understand mysteries and to know mysteries and to understand them being another thing. But look at this little word here in the middle. If you could understand all the mysteries of the whole universe, but you didn't have love, you would not be as great as the person who had the ability, the power, the passion, and the determination to love. Because love is superior to understanding all mysteries. No matter what field of science you should look at, whether botany or zoology or chemistry or physics or the cosmos, you could understand all those mysteries, but you didn't have love, you would not be as great as the person who has the ability to love. Love is superior to understanding all mysteries. And then, this chapter says that love is superior to knowledge. Not just knowledge, but look at this, all knowledge. If you could know all the details about every subject, if you were omniscient, like God is, knowing everything that's noble, but you didn't have love, you would be inferior to someone who loves. Because love is not only superior to the tongues of men, the tongues of angels, to prophecy and to understanding all mysteries, but it is superior to knowing everything there is to know. And then this chapter says that love is superior to mountain-moving faith. Well, wouldn't you love with faith to move mountains? In fact, the Bible says you can. That's what it says in the book of Mark. I think it's 11:23. That if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be thou removed, and it would be cast into the sea. Wouldn't it be great to have the kind of faith that you could move mountains? But if you have love, you have something that's far superior to the ability to move mountains by faith. Superior to the tongues of men, superior to the tongues of angels, superior to prophecy, superior to understanding all mysteries, superior to knowing all knowledge, and superior to having mountain-moving faith. Love is superior. In fact, love is superior to absolute generosity. This verse says, if I give all my goods to feed the poor, I don't have love. You see, love is superior to generosity, but not just generosity, but absolute generosity. If I should give all my goods to feed the poor, love is superior to absolute generosity. And then we learn that love is superior to martyrdom. This verse says, if I gave my body to be burned, but I didn't have love, it really wouldn't count. So you see, love is superior to the tongues of men. It's superior to the tongues of angels. It's superior to prophecy. It's superior to understanding all mysteries. It's superior to knowing all knowledge. It's superior to mountain-moving faith. It's superior to absolute generosity, and it's superior to martyrdom. Love. It is the warmth in a cold world. It is the light in a dark world. It is the joy in a sad world. Now, this same passage that tells us about the superiority of love also tells us what the consequences are in our lives if we do not have love. And here are four things this passage says that if we do not have love. Number one, if I do not have love, I am as a sounding brass, just an empty gong. Doesn't last very long at all. And if I don't have love, it says I'm as a tinkling of a cymbal. And of course, you know, that's not how cymbals are to be played. They make crashing sounds, a cymbal. But if I don't have love, I'm as a sounding brass and I'm as a tinkling cymbal. In fact, the verse says, if I don't have love, I am nothing. In other words, without love, all of us, if we had to be measured, would be zeros. It is love. This is the part that's produced in us that becomes godlike. This is the ingredient that the grace of God produces in our life. It's the evidence of a Christian. By this shall all men know you, my disciples, because you have love. It's this love in us produced by the Lord Jesus Christ that makes it worthwhile preserving us forever. God wants to give eternal life to those who know how to love. But without love, we're as a sounding brass, a tinkling cymbal. And without love, we're nothing. And then this verse says that without love, there's no profit. It profits me nothing. No profit whatsoever. You know, Jesus used this word profit once this way. He said, what would it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world but lose his soul? Or what should a man give in exchange for his soul? Imagine having all the money in the world, having all the knowledge, knowing all the mysteries, speaking all the languages, but still being a zero. have no profit whatsoever. And this scripture, this love chapter says, if I don't have love, it profits me nothing. You see, this love is superior to everything else on this planet. In fact, it's superior to everything else in the whole rest of the universe, except love, except God, of course, because He is love. And nothing could be superior to God or God-likeness. That's what's summed up in this wonderful four-letter word, love. Love is slow to suspect, but quick to trust. Slow to condemn, yet quick to justify. It's slow to offend, but quick to defend. Slow to expose and yet quick to shield. It's slow to belittle, but quick to appreciate. Love is slow to demand, but quick to forgive. Slow to provoke, but quick to reconcile. It's slow to hinder, but quick to help. It's slow to resent, but it's quick to forgive. Love, it's superior to everything else on this planet. In fact, it's the one thing by which we can identify true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. If a man says he loves God, but he hates his brother, the Bible says he's a liar and the truth is not in him yet. By this shall all men know you, my disciples, because you have love. You see, love was designed by God to be the proof, the touchstone, the evidence of genuine Christian. I've often said it before in joking humor, but let me say it again. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going into a pig pen makes you a pagan. Having an athlete's foot doesn't make you an athlete. You can sit in a garage for 2 years and never turn into a garden hose or an automobile. And you can sit in church all your life and never turn into a Christian. You see, going to church doesn't prove you're a Christian. I mean, if you're a Christian, certainly you will go to church. But the evidence of being a genuine follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Him, according to the Scriptures, according to the God of heaven, is that we have this distinct disposition as persons on this planet to live as He lives. By this love of love. In fact, the Bible refers to love as a royal distinction. Now, let me show you that verse in just a moment. But first, let me show you another one. Because it's one of our favorite verses. It's found in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. And I want you to look at it on the screen with me. Unto Him that loved us. And look what He did for us. He washed us from our sins in His own blood. And look at this. And hath made us kings, royalty, and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He comes to make you into a king. See, when we refer to Jesus, and the book of Revelation does, as the King of Kings, the question has to be raised, who are the kings over which He is the King? And the answer is you. He made you to be royalty. He made you to live distinctly different than everyone else and everything else in His universe. He wants you to be royalty. He wants you to reign in life by one Christ Jesus. This is what it means to be a Christian. There comes to the genuine Christian a new dignity, esteem, a royalty, if you please. In fact, let me show you that in the Bible. Look at this scripture. If ye fulfill, look at this phrase, the royal law. According to the scripture, and here it is, thou shalt love. Thou shalt agape love thy neighbor as yourself. You do well. Now watch this though. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as a transgressor. Watch this now. Because you see, when we have this genuine condition of love, it isn't selective. isn't just to a spouse. It isn't just to our children. This love has no respect of persons. It's like God is. God loves everyone. Have you ever thought that maybe he loves somebody else more than he loves you? I want you to know that's not true. He loves you as much as he loves me. In fact, he loves you as much as he loves his own son. In fact, listen to this famous verse of Scripture. For God so loved, and you could put your name in there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would never perish, but have everlasting life. You see, this is the royal law. This is the distinctive ingredient that sets us apart as the genuine follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. It isn't how much religion, it isn't how much you know as a teacher, it isn't how motivation you are as an exhorter. It doesn't matter how much power you have as a proclaimer. It doesn't matter about your ability to serve. If we don't have love, none of that stuff counts. Even our faith must work by love. Love is the stuff of God. It was Kempis who said that love is a mighty power, a great and complete good. Love alone lightens every burden and makes the rough places smooth. Nothing is sweeter than love. Nothing stronger. Nothing higher. Nothing wider. Nothing more pleasant. Nothing fuller or better in all of heaven or all of earth. For love is born of God and can only rest in God above all created things. You see, love flies and runs and leaps for joy. It's free and unrestrained. Love gives all, for everyone. Resting in the one who is higher above all things, from whom every good flows and proceeds. Every good flows and proceeds. Love does not regard the gifts, but turns to the giver of all good gifts. Love, the most powerful force in the world, and the one singular evidence that we are born of God. Not with the mass of religion, the mass of knowledge, no greatness of our explanations, our understanding of mysteries or knowledge, our ability to speak tongues of men or tongues of angels, or even giving our body to be burned or giving all of our money to feed the poor. This thing called love is the singular most powerful thing in the world, indeed in the whole universe. And it is the essential nature of God. So the love chapter is very important. Let me quote it for you in another translation. Here's how it goes. This love of which I speak is slow to lose patience. It looks for a way of being constructive. It is not possessive. It is neither anxious to impress, nor does it cherish inflated ideas of its own importance. Love has good manners and does not pursue selfish advantage. Love is not touchy. It does not keep account of evil. Love does not gloat over the wickedness of other people. On the contrary, it is glad with all good men when truth prevails. Because you see, love knows no limit to its endurance, no end to its trust, no fading of its hope. It can outlast anything. It is, in fact, the one thing that still stands when all else has fallen. You see, if we ever quit loving someone, it really means we have never loved them. Because love is eternal. It never stops. And as we're going to discover, love is essentially a choice, a disposition to choose what is best for another person without personal profit as a motive. You see, our problem today is that A lot of marriages and a lot of relationships are based on negotiated settlements. You do this and I'll do that. I'll love you if you love me. But see, that's not love. That's a negotiated agreement. What we want to come to understand is what is genuine love. This love that's expressed and defined in the famous love chapter is the most misunderstood subject of our day. In fact, eros, that which is erotic, is mistaken as love. Romance is mistaken as love. So many things have been called love that we've almost lost track of the real thing. And that's why I want to urge you to spend moments with me, if you would. Because what we're going to do is to understand the four different kinds of love expressed in the Bible. But the foundation one is this one which we call love. We use love for all these terms, but only one is genuine, real. And it's this thing called agape in the Greek. And so when the Bible uses the word love, it most frequently uses the word agape. And it is this stuff produced in us by Jesus Christ that enables us to make the highest choices for other people without personal benefit as a motive. That is what it means to love. Have you ever had somebody really love you? Or have they been grasping and grappling and trying to get something from you, in exchange even? Let me ask you a tougher question. Not have you ever been loved, but let me ask you this. Have you ever really loved? You see, love gets tested over and over again. The motive gets purified. Because if we're looking for something back out of the deal, then we don't really love. Now, in theological terms, we have two words that are very important. The first one is called interested benevolence. The second one, you should drop this in your notes, is disinterested benevolence. Interested benevolence, the word benevolence, by the way, means love. But watch this now. One of these is virtuous and one of these is not. Interested benevolence means I love you because I'm interested in getting something out of it for myself. But disinterested benevolence is a theological term that expresses genuine love. It means I have love for you without any interest of personal profit for myself. Oh, how missing this is in our day. So we want to give ourselves our full attention to grasping this wonderful mystery, this wonderful evidence of the genuine, this wonderful nature of God, because this is what He is like. And this is what He wants you and I to be like. And the worst thing that can happen is that we can major on all kinds of minor issues when the main stuff of being Christian is love. This must become the foundation for marriage. It must become the foundation for friendship. It must become the foundation for our relationships with our children. It must be the way we treat ourselves. Self-love is a lot different than selfishness, as we're going to learn. Yes, it's superior. And I wonder if I could challenge you in these closing moments to give your full attention, to study all the scriptures you can find on this one grand theme, this great oration of the whole Bible, love. And let's describe it, define it, understand it, and then more important than all of that, let's live this stuff called love. Because I tell you, there isn't a mountain so high that enough love cannot climb. There's not an ocean so wide that enough love cannot cross. There's not a wall of separation so strong that enough love will not tear down. There is not a sin so terrible that enough love will not forgive. There's not a relationship gone astray, wrecked and ruined though it may seem, that enough love will not restore. The only issue is, do we love enough? And this is the stuff that God has towards you, and this is the stuff that you and I are to have towards all men everywhere. Love, the greatest force in all the world. It isn't whether we know love, but do we do love? That's my challenge. Will you learn with me that we might become real lovers?
Our hope and prayer is that you have been blessed and encouraged through this teaching. Our mission is to edify, exhort, and disciple the body of Christ by teaching nothing but the truth from God's Word, the Holy Bible. For more information about Nothing But the Truth, or to view our teachings, please visit nothingbutthetruth.org.